Final hour, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And it is Monday morning at 8 o'clock, which only means that we're going to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, Robert, I'm delightful on this playoff week. How are you?
Doing outstanding. Nice rubber match for our squads coming up on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
Yep. You know, these haven't gone well for us lately, so we'll see how it goes.
We will see how it goes. Corey, it is a wild day, one of the wildest days of the NFL year. It's Black Monday. Kevin Stefanski, yep. Literally just got fired a couple of minutes ago. So let's just kind of start there. What do you make of the potential of some of these coaches that come open today, be that Stefanski, who we now know, you know, Pete Carroll, we'll see what happens with him, with the Raiders, what in the world's going to happen with John Harbaugh and kind of that weird dynamic with him and Lamar Jackson going on in Baltimore right now. So of the coaches that could be fired today, or that in Stefanski's case were just fired, what are some names that maybe intrigue you the most if you're the Titans looking at this?
Well, I mean, if John Harbaugh got fired, it would immediately attract to that. I mean, I think his track record is fairly clear at Baltimore. Having said that, at the same time, Baltimore does a really good job of giving him players. I mean, they have drafted and developed really well there for a really long time. And, you know, you want to be a draft and develop team, so, you know, that would be an attractive coach to come open, you know. Stefanski is a two-time NFL Coach of the Year. You know, he's certainly worth talking to. I'm just happy for him that he gets out of Cleveland.
Same.
So, yeah. So, you know, look, these guys, you know, we all think they'll automatically get other jobs. It never works that way. And it'll be interesting, you know, what's Borgonzi's relationship to these guys. And I'm not overwhelmed with the candidates that were out there already, so I would think that some of these guys would be extremely attractive.
So, Corey, I got to ask, we've talked about this a bit, and I think it's definitely open for interpretation, especially when it comes to Chad Brinker, but just wanted to get your thoughts on Amy Adams Strunk's letter to the fan base and the latest change of the Titans front office structure.
You know, The power structure never really bothered me as much as it seems to bother everyone else. All I'm concerned with is finding good players and good coaches. That's it. I mean, I don't care if Amy does it, if Mike Borgonzi does it, if Kenneth Adam does it. You know, I don't. Just find good people. That's what you need to have. You know, this is, you know, more clear cut. Than, you know, I guess it was before, but, you know, I thought it was pretty obvious what each one of their jobs was before, but now it's, you know, I guess completely taking Brinker, you know, out of this mix where Borgonzi's just handling the coaching search, and that's fine. That's fine. Then it's all on him. If he picks a bad coach, then he gets to get fired. So, you know, I'm fine with that. You know, it's finding good players. It's finding good coaches. Somebody do it. I don't care.
So, Corey, on the Cam Ward front, I mean, obviously not the way you want his season to end yesterday with the shoulder injury. Came out, looked good on the first drive, and then
– that's a great drive, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It was a great drive.
Looked really good on that first drive. And then now you're dealing with a potential grade 3 AC joint sprain. We'll get more clarity, hopefully, on that front today and what that looks like. So I guess how concerning is that from the standpoint of how long, if it is a grade 3 AC joint sprain, that it could linger into the offseason and maybe hinder some of that progress and some of that development that we've talked with you for weeks about at this point as it relates to his footwork and all the other stuff that he's got to work on this offseason?
Well, I think it's a huge concern. I mean, that's a serious injury. I mean, I separated my shoulder. It was terrible. Okay, it stunk. I hated it. You know, and if he has to have surgery, which I'm going to guess they're probably going to do, I mean, I don't think we'll see Cam until training camp. I mean, I think it's Even if he doesn't have surgery, I have doubts that we'll see him until training camp. I mean, I think it's going to take a while. And, you know, he might be able to work on footwork, but he won't be able to work on throwing the ball with footwork and that follow through. You know, I mean, it's going to limit him in what he can do. And instead of working on all that stuff, he's going to be doing PT. He's going to be doing physical therapy. And, you know, that unfortunately is part of the league, you know, part of the game. I remember one year when Steve Berline, when he played for the Panthers, had 7 surgeries the week after practice. 7 all at once. Yeah, that's a day.
Was he like sitting in the hospital like the full body cast? Like
roll me out.
My God.
No, it was actually the incarnation of Darth Vader. He just popped up. It's part of the league, but I mean, it's very unfortunate it's the last game of the year. I mean, just it kind of feels like the Mariota thing in year 2. It's like, oh man, come on. Although that team was almost headed to the playoffs and playing really well. But, you know, it's very disappointing and, you know, very disappointing because I had no mistake that they were not going to win that game, okay? But I would like to see what that game would have been with Cam Ward at quarterback because that drive looked really good.
Yeah, no doubt. Another thing we got to see or had to see because of the unfortunate injury is Brandon Allen playing quarterback.
Yep.
So I think maybe
32 of 32.
Yeah. I think the Titans might want to upgrade there among so many things they have to do in the offseason. But I must ask you, Corey, when they do have a young man named Will Levis.
I completely agree with you, Joe. I mean, why can't Will Levis be their backup next year?
I don't know.
I mean, if he has to play and he plays well, you know what he becomes? An asset. All right, he becomes an asset. And there's no reason if you can't have 2. You know Cam Ward is your quarterback. You drafted him first overall. There's no confusing that. He would have to be terrible to get replaced, and he hasn't been terrible, okay? And he's gotten better. Certainly Will is an upgrade over what we saw yesterday. But I still think they probably need to bring in a more proven backup than the one they did this year. Because that's what we all expected to see, and that's what we all got.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they handle that part of it. We were talking about this a few minutes ago. What do you think the future looks like for T'Vondre Sweat? I mean, I know this was year 2 for him. You're dealing with a general manager that did not draft him, and now you're about to have another coaching staff coming in here. And look, you know, every now and then he'll make a play in the run game where it's like, well, that's nice play by T'Vondre Sweat. I don't know that he's ever going to live up to where he was drafted just because of the size that he's at and how limited he is at getting after the quarterback. Do you think that he is going to be a part of their plans moving forward? Or how do you view kind of where he stands right now?
Well, I think it depends on who the coach is and what defense he's going to run and the defensive coordinator. Because, like, if they had Dean Pease as the defensive coordinator, he'd love him because he loves 350-pound defensive linemen. But, you know, they may have a defensive coordinator who doesn't love that type. And so I think it's going to fall entirely on the coaching staff and the type of player that they want. And just because a guy maybe doesn't fill what you had hoped he would be, you know, he's still a starter. And he does still plug the run game for you. Your run defense is still largely pretty good. And so he may not be what you hoped, but what he is can still help you. And I think you can't get past that. Now, does that mean he gets a second contract? I don't know. But he still has 2 years left on this one.
Do you think this offensive line, Corey, can be a plus offensive line next season without much tinkering other than maybe adding a little bit of depth to it? Or do you think that they need to invest something significant somewhere along that line to get it to where they want it to be next season?
Well, I mean, I guess it just depends on if you believe what you just saw, because I think the last 6 weeks of the season, it was a plus offensive line. I mean, I think Cam got sacked five times the last 5 weeks. I mean, you look at that drive to start the game yesterday. He had wonderful pockets to throw from. And they, you know, they ran the ball, you know, really well down the stretch. Yesterday was a tough slog because you knew what the Titans were going to do offensively, and that was not much with Brandon Allen. So I think they can look at, you know, four of the five spots and say, you know, we think we're pretty good here. We've got some evidence that this group can run the ball and protect the quarterback. I guess if you found the right guy, you know, but I don't think I would invest heavily. I would invest in a younger player at that spot because Skoronski's going to need a new deal, and you'll be paying Skoronski more and Christian Berry. And then after him, Latham's going to need a new deal. And so I don't know that you can go in on a multi-year deal for one more guy in there. I think you need to develop a younger player at that right guard position.
You're giving Latham a second deal already? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Well, I think I am not at this point, but I think you have to be hoping that it goes that way.
For sure. I mean, if it doesn't go that way, that's a big problem.
Well, then I think you've got to be budgeting to giving him a second-year deal, a second-time deal. And if you don't, then you're just starting all over again, and you're saving a bunch of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey? Great stuff as always. Going to be interesting to see what more dominoes fall on the NFL coaching front today. Thank you for being with us. And next Monday will be a beautiful conversation between us two, either way it goes.
How about a wager? Got a wager?
I mean, I think we actually can do lunch.
Against sausages?
Yeah.
You know, I can get you a 312 pizza.
Don't you know Abe Froman? You know Abe Froman, don't you?
He's the sausage king of Chicago.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Come on.
You're Abe Froman, sausage king of Chicago.
Thought he was going to be like, I'll just pick you up and we'll drive to like Harry Carey's in Chicago. Cool. Good stuff.
You know, okay, I know you guys, I always do this. So one day I went to Chicago with my mentor, who was just in town yesterday for SIU's thrilling buzzer beater over Belmont.
Yes.
And we went to Chicago. We went to the White Sox day game and the Cubs night game. And afterwards, we went to Harry Carey's. And we're in the bar having a drink. And the maitre d' comes up and says, gentlemen, we have your seats. You're right next to Harry tonight. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I figure there's going to be like a cardboard cutout. We are sitting right next to Harry and Skip.
That's awesome.
Harry, Skip, and Dutchie. All right.
That's a lot of Natty Light.
No, it's old style.
Right, I'm sorry. That's a lot of old style. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, it's old style. And it had been a long day, so I was feeling ripe. And it was amazing. It was one woman after another sitting on Harry's lap for pictures next to Dutchie. And the one thing I'll never forget is one of his grandchildren was there, and Harry twirled up some pasta on a fork, held it in front of the kid's mouth. The kid opened his mouth, and Harry pulls it away and goes,
jeez. You will have no pasta.
No.
We need to hear more of this story at a different time.
We
do. This is something else.
One of the greatest nights of my life.
Oh, boy. Corey, thank you, sir.
All right, bye, guys.
Corey Curtis brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Not how I expected that one, Dan.
That sounds pretty freaking awesome.
It does.
What a day.
Yeah, you guys are next to Harry tonight. Really? Okay.
Hey, everybody.
We'll react to what Corey had to say. Keep you updated on the latest on NFL Black Monday. Kevin Stefanski out as head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Your reaction to that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It is Black Monday in the NFL. Raheem Morris got fired in basically the immediate aftermath of the game yesterday for the Falcons. Now Kevin Stefanski out as head coach of the Cleveland Browns. So, Joe, we talked about the possibility of that earlier, of him potentially being on the chopping block. He is now out. If you are the Tennessee Titans, what is your interest level in Kevin Stefanski now that he has officially shaken free?
It's not zero. It's not zero. I think he deserves a long look. I understand. You know, we talked earlier about people in Cleveland being down on some of his game management. Like you said, boy, those two-point conversions were real special against the Titans this year.
They were nice.
But, I mean, like, the big picture of Kevin Stefanski, I think, is pretty good. And he is the kind of guy. He's the play-calling OC head coach. I think he's a pretty good leader. I think there's going to be interest in him. It's not like it's not the same as like if a Harbaugh or a Tomlin were to be on the market, but I think there'll be significant interest in him, right? I mean, people look at Cleveland and it's just such a bleep show in so many ways that don't have to do with him. I mean, I guess how much was he saying, oh, we got to get Deshaun when they got Deshaun? I don't know. But you look at what he did with Baker there. That's another thing, too, I guess, is like also like giving up on Baker. How much was he? You have to think his input mattered there. It's obviously a mistake. Baker was hurt that last year. But I just think he's a good coach. And I think that the Titans should absolutely have interest. And maybe I'm wrong on the overall interest in him, and they'd have a better chance than you might think.
Well, he's been the NFL Coach of the Year twice. He won the NFL Coach of the Year in 2020 and in 2023. And I think, look, Cleveland by itself, as we know, a difficult situation to evaluate a coach because they've been a dumpster fire for the entirety of my lifetime. Jimmy Haslam totally botched the Deshaun Watson situation, which he's basically since come out and admitted. And that's why, you know, even with their record being terrible over the last few years, that's why he wasn't fired before this, is because the owner basically said, yeah, I screwed that one up. Sorry about that. Now, they have not been able to rebound from that. They've not been able to figure out quarterback. I would love to know, like, you know, Baker Mayfield. And I understand that, you know, the season ended with a dud for the Bucs down there in Tampa. There's a bunch of stuff going on down there. And he did not play great down the stretch. But by and large, Baker Mayfield has been pretty darn good in Tampa Bay over the last few years. And it did not work out in Cleveland there at the end. So, you know, what was Stefanski's involvement there? How much of that was the owner just wanting to go get Deshaun Watson? Like, I don't know. I don't know what all that looks like. I think Stefanski's a good coach. I think there will be interest in Stefanski beyond even just the Titans heading into the coaching cycle this offseason. I am very interested to see how much interest. Because that's the other thing. Like, you know, let's say Pete Carroll leaves the Raiders. Does somebody else bring in Pete Carroll, or is he just done at the age of 74? What if Harbaugh does get fired by Baltimore? I would assume he moves immediately to the top of the list.
Yeah, root for all those things.
So what does that do to the rest of the list when it comes? And that's not even factoring in, you know, Saleh and Nagy and take your pick. Is McCarthy back in the game? Like, take your pick, all these other guys that we've already talked about. So, but I do think there will be heavy interest in Stefanski out there.
Yeah. Yeah, so root for all these things to happen. The Bills to lose this week and McDermott to, you know, you don't think the Packers are going to move on LaFleur. So that was, you know, I always thought that was, like, it would have to be.
Well, ask me again on Saturday night and see how the game goes. Like, if they just get destroyed by the Bears, then maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
They fire him for starting Jordan Love when he should have started Malik Willis. Is that
let's see if Malik's even healthy. He's got a hamstring injury. So,
I mean, I'm 50% Malik Willis. I don't know. I might go with that.
Get him out there. Yeah.
Now, so doesn't seem likely, and it makes sense. I mean, it's like next year is sort of the prove it year for him with them, probably, right?
And that's probably, I guess. I mean, the one thing that could complicate that could shake him free. I mean, are you signing him to a contract extension this offseason if you're the Packers? Probably not.
Right.
So that means he's heading into next year lame duck. And I know, I mean, organizations and coaches, by the way, hate that. So I don't know what that means on the LaFleur front. I don't get the sense that he's going to get fired.
Yeah, but that, to me, that's the fair, I mean, half measure is what it is. Is like, okay, I mean, sorry, Matt, but, like, you've done well, but also we've done nothing postseason, so let's go.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah, and, you know, Chip from Mount Juliet pointing out Ed Policy, who's basically the decision-maker for the Packers now, has ties to Stefanski, and that's basically what, you know, Florio was talking about, too. Like, Stefanski, if they did fire LaFleur, probably be in line for at least an interview with the Packers job. So, like, there's a whole lot of things that could still happen here in terms of who's going to shake free. My immediate question, like, what more is coming today? Like, how many more coaches today are getting fired out there?
Yeah. I mean, the Harbaugh stuff is really interesting. I mean, Lamar Jackson got asked about it last night. I was like, you know, I can't think about things like this.
Yeah. I'm processing
this loss. I'm not going to say anything about John Harbaugh.
Like, I would assume Jonathan Gannon's probably getting fired today in Arizona, but does anybody really care about that? Like, I don't think Jonathan Gannon's going to be popping up on head coaching list immediately, right?
No. Now. But then it's also, it's like, then you get into, you know, the number of openings and the whole picture. I mean, the Titans, you want fewer openings and more coaches on the market who are attractive so that you can get someone good. John says that Stefanski didn't want Watson, so I'll believe you, John. I will also say that he seemed to want Dylan Gabriel and not want Shedeur Sanders, and Shedeur Sanders is better than Dylan Gabriel. So
the Browns are keeping GM.
Make of that what you will.
They are keeping GM Andrew Berry.
There you go.
Browns are, so keeping the front office kind of up there.
Yeah. That's the thing. Aside from Watson, which is a pretty big aside.
I'm not sure their roster is super awesome right now other than Myles Garrett.
Well, they're deep. Delpit and Newsom, they've done a pretty good job of building a defense. I think that the defense kind of buckled under the weight of the offense this year. So I think overall he's done a decent job.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Well, if you get – like, Stefanski's a great – option for us. If you get him, you got a chance to get Jim Schwartz as DC, right?
I would think so.
One of his boys. Yeah. So I'm a homer, but at the same time, like, that would be part of the interview, right? Y'all know him. Y'all love Jim Schwartz, and I've got him in my Rolodex. So I don't know. That's the first name I thought of. I want him as a head coach. I know it's unrealistic, but if you can get Stefanski and get him with it, I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Adam. I mean, I would assume
that'd be good DC.
That would be attractive to the Titans. I would assume that would be attractive to Stefanski to bring him back as DC there. Like, I have my doubts that Jim Schwartz is going to get a head coaching job this offseason. I guess he could get an interview from the Titans. I don't think that Jim Schwartz is going to be a head coach again.
I wouldn't think so either. There will be some coordinator that gets a job somewhere that you're like, oh, really? Is that okay? You know, I mean, even to me, it's like, a year ago, like on this day, and maybe I'm misremembering, but like, were people screaming about Liam Cohen as a, you know, I understand the whole thing happened with him going and then he was going to come back or whatever, you know, I mean, he had one good year as a coordinator after being bounced out of LA. And then all of a sudden he's also a very strong NFL coach of the year candidate, by the way, who is going to win that?
I mean, it's going to be tight. I mean, Vrabel, McDonald, Cohen, Ben Johnson, pretty good.
That's
pretty
four,
good candidates.
You
right
could make
there.
A strong case for any of those four.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would agree on Schwartz. You know, I still say, you know, the coordinator thing for the Titans. Again, some people swear that, like, Joe Brady is an absolute star. He's going to be, like, really good. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've known they've also thought that about people who have failed, including Brian Callahan, for example. But the coordinator thing, you know, is still something that can work.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans head coaching / Kevin Stefanski front. We will do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin Stefanski out as Cleveland Browns head coach, so add him to the mix of potential coaching candidates for the Tennessee Titans. And Joe, we went through the front office clarification that Amy Adams Strunk threw out there over the weekend with Mike Borgonzi in charge of the 53-man roster. He will lead the coaching search. And, you know, I think when Titans fans hear that he's leading the coaching search, like, Nagy's the first name that comes to mind. And I get it. I mean, there's obviously a pre-existing relationship there. I did think it was a good point that, you know, PK brought up last week when it came to the general manager search last year. Now, I realize that was with Brinker. But, you know, everybody was making the connection with the Packers, and then they go out and hire Borgonzi from the Chiefs. So, like, I understand Borgonzi, I don't think there's anything wrong with interviewing Matt Nagy, having a pre-existing relationship with Matt Nagy, and if you feel in your heart of hearts at the end of the day that Nagy is the best candidate for the job, then go hire him. I do think if that's who they end up hiring, a lot of Titans fans are just going to assume, oh, well, it was going to be Nagy the whole time because that's who he knows.
That's his buddy.
That's his buddy. So, yeah. Like, that will come up if that's it, that ends up being the hire for the Titans. Whether it's wrong, right, indifferent, whatever, that is something you'll have to discuss if you're Mike Borgonzi.
Right. Like Ed, who's had some great jokes about Borgonzi's ideas and also Princess Bride quotes, previously has said, well, are they doing any research? And that's what people say. Oh, so they this whole time they sat around, they're just going to hire Nagy. I mean, again, if you're Borgonzi and you understand, as he, I promise you, does, how difficult it is to get one of these jobs, how difficult it is to keep one of these jobs, do you really think that you're just going to be like, eh, you sit around, we'll just hire my buddy. I like him. We're friends. I helped him with his resume.
Yeah, I would hope not.
Yay. No, I mean, he's. It may end up coming down like that. And, yes, I don't think you should be worried about this stuff if you're in his position, but people do. They do know what people say. Like, if I was him, I'd almost be like it's almost like a kid when you coach, or a parent when you coach your own kid, and I've experienced this, where you're actually, like, you're actually harder on your own kid than you should be. You don't want to show favoritism, so you actually do – you go too far the other way.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how I'd almost look like if I was Borgonzi. Like, Nagy better really clearly be by far the best candidate after we all agree on it, all go through everything, because I'm going to hear this crap. And every loss is like, oh, your buddy lost the game, huh?
Yeah.
Now you listen to me. We all talked about this, coach. It's not just my hire. No, I
thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't just my idea. We all had this idea.
Collective idea.
Lots of ideas.
A better idea.
Me and the 95 people we have at the front office.
Yeah, it'll be set. You know, I saw
we took a straw poll.
You know, I saw some on the Twitter there, or whatever it's called now. Oh, now this guarantees it'll be Nagy. It's like, well, maybe it will be, but if it is, I think it's because Borgonzi thinks he's the best coach. And if that's not how he's going about his business, well, boy, the Titans are screwed.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, they're screwed.
Well, and again,
I think he's smarter than that.
And again, I brought this up with Stefanski, too. Like, Stefanski is not a perfect coaching candidate. I'm not sure that that person exists. And, like, you know, Harbaugh would be at the top of, I think, everybody's list. The Ravens, I understand that things did not go well for them this year, and Lamar was hurt throughout the year, and there's, like, kind of this weird dynamic between the two of them at the end of it. And I just went through, like, Orlovsky tweeted this out of how many times the Lamar-Harbaugh combo in a big game, either late in the regular season or in the playoffs, have lost after being favored in the game. It's a long list at this point. You know, the Titans are on that list too, when they did after the 2019 season. But, like, it's a pretty long list there. It just feels so un-Ravens-like. He's been there for so long that I think I'm just going to have to see it to believe it that they're actually going to fire him and move on from it.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's one of those things, like Lamar's answer last night, it's like, man, wouldn't even address it.
Yeah.
Again, it might just be one of those, you know what, it's just better for both parties kind of thing. I've always thought, like, with him and with Tomlin, it would have to be that, right? Like, how do you fire that guy with that level of success for so long? But, you know, the difference between those two situations is that the Ravens have, I mean, they have a franchise quarterback who, you know, those guys dictate things like that.
Sure.
I mean, that happens. And the Steelers don't. Well, I mean, I guess they kind of do, but, I mean, he doesn't have much time left. Texter says, it has to be an established head coach, right? Because we've been so bad for so long, can't afford to get it wrong. This is the most important head coaching search we've ever had, because we're going to start losing fans forever if we have two more years like this. Again, I say to you, I get the idea of an established head coach. I like the idea, but Liam Cohen seems to be doing all right with the Jags.
Mike McDonald.
And D'Amico Ryans seems to be doing all right with the Texans. And Mike McDonald might be NFL Coach of the Year. So let's see. Who are the Coach of the Year candidates? McDonald?
Johnson. Vrabel, who was a previous head
coach. Who, by the way, came in here as a one-year DC, and it was like, God, worst D in the league. The coordinators to head coach, you just have to pick the right one. So, no, I don't think you should close yourself off to that. You may limit your search too much by thinking that way. You just have to make it – I get it. Like, Brian Callahan looked so good, and on paper was great, and his first presser was awesome and everything, but it doesn't mean you just cut off coordinators for this job.
We'll get more into, like, the actual playoff matchups tomorrow in the NFL. If you had to guess right now, who's your betting favorite to win the Super Bowl at the moment?
Betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to – even though the Seahawks look ridiculous to me, I'm not going to pick them. I mean, Eagles? It's not the Eagles?
The Eagles are fourth on the list. Seahawks are number one.
Okay.
Seahawks, followed by the Rams – then the Broncos, and then the Eagles. Those are your top four.
Disrespect, Vrabel. Disrespect. I think Vrabel's got himself a game coming up this weekend. You don't think so?
No.
Man, just disrespecting Jimmy Harbaugh like that.
I just think that they've been so banged up all year on the offensive line. I mean, the Patriots are, I haven't looked yet. My guess is they're like a 5-point favorite. Let me see. Patriots are 3.5-point favorite, so I'm wrong.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know. I think that one could be interesting. It's just a huge amount of pressure for Drake May and that young team. And the Chargers hang in there, man. Even yesterday, like Trey Lance, like every single decision he makes is, I'm going to throw it deep, and it's 20 yards past the receiver. And they still were hanging in that game all the way until like the fourth quarter.
It is kind of fun to watch him play quarterback. You have no idea where the ball's going to end up.
But usually it's just like, no, let's go vertical. But wait, try to throw it near the receiver, please. Texter says, is Stefanski leery of the Titans because of his relationship with Vrabel? No. I mean, no. Why would that be? You think because Vrabel was here, like, Vrabel would be mad at him or something if he took the job? Vrabel would be like, hey, buddy, here's a gift basket. Good luck with Amy.
Well, I mean, I guess the only thing would be, like, did Vrabel, when they were around each other last year in Cleveland, just basically talk about how bad the Titans
situation is? Oh, is that what this text means? Maybe. I mean, if that's what you mean, Brandes, I apologize.
I mean, the guy just came from the Browns, so he probably got his own his own interpretation of ownership at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I guess. But, if you're Stefanski, I think you expect to be pretty coveted out there. And so I think that you would look at the landscape and you might be like, yeah, like the Titans
he will
are
get
a little
another
bit
job.
Down the list. Yeah.
Whether it's this offseason or not, he will get another job. So I think knowing that, you can afford to be a little bit more selective if you're a guy like him. Doesn't mean he would. I mean, look. He saw Cam Ward firsthand, game plan for Cam Ward this year. I understand that Ward didn't necessarily play great in the game against Cleveland, but he did make a couple big plays in that game. I mean, isn't that what probably the most important part of all this is? Is like if somebody looks at the film and they just love Cam Ward, well, that probably overrides a lot of things in the decision-making process, I would assume.
Yeah, it does. No, absolutely. And I'm very interested to know how many people feel that way about him? And after going through the film hardcore, which some of these coaching candidates who are considering this place are going to do, what's the takeaway?
It's a good question.
I mean, I'd be surprised if anybody's like, I have to coach that guy.
Yeah, I'd be surprised by that too.
There's something there. There's not nothing there.
Well, I think you also look around the league and it's like, okay, how many jobs are open? How many have you are talking about a number one overall pick at quarterback. He made plenty of throws this year where you're like, wow, it's pretty darn impressive what he just did there. Now, there's still a ton to work on. But, I mean, you look around the rest of the league right now and you've seen some young quarterbacks take the league by storm over the last couple of years. If you feel like he can be that guy, that makes it more attractive. But, the other part of this, too, is like the Raiders job is a good example. Let's say that Pete Carroll's out after 1 year. It's the Raiders, who have been a horrific organization over the last 25 years, but they got the number one overall pick, and I guess Fernando Mendoza is going to be the pick. So like,
or Dante Moore.
So look, compare the two situations, right? What's a more attractive job right now, league wide, the Titans or the Raiders, right?
Well,
I don't know.
Because the unknown is undefeated, even with these people who should know better, I would probably say the Raiders. Because you have this, like, I don't know. How does Mendoza
get to work with Tom Brady every day?
Well, there is that. There is that. Except when he's off calling another Lions game. I'm really interested to see as the process goes along, like Mendoza as a prospect compared to like Cam last year,
you know,
and Shadur last year, and does it end up being, because they love, you know, they love the, is it this guy's or that guy? Is it Mendoza more? Is that what it is? It's just, to me, it's just,
has Moore declared yet?
No.
Simpson hasn't made the decision yet. Like, who's going to be in the draft?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I'm suspecting Simpson back in college, but I don't know that for sure. It's not a good year to need a quarterback.
No.
Mendoza might be good. I think he'll be good. I do wonder about the ceiling a little bit.
615-737-1025, our phone number. I know, you know, if he wins a national championship and maybe one day a Super Bowl, post-game interview could be electric. Could be an all-timer for Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if he's the number three quarterback somewhere. He should be like the guys at the podium, no matter what.
We welcome in Fernando Mendoza, who's not thrown a ball all year. Fernando, your thoughts?
I want Mendoza and Pavi on the same team. That'd be electric.
That'd be a clash, personality clash. Be fun.
I mean, yeah, I think they could help each other.
I think they could, too. A lot more of your thoughts to get to. We will do that rapid fire coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Joe Jordan Schultz, best friend of Paul Kaharsky, putting it out there that the Titans have requested permission to interview Matt Nagy for their head coaching position. So, not that that is a surprise, but it is now out there. Jordan Schultz, as of 5 minutes ago, saying the Titans have requested to interview Matt Nagy for their vacant head coaching position.
And that's the only one we know of, right?
That's the only one we know of to this point.
Interesting, that's first. Also interesting that Jordan scooped Paul. Very disappointing, Paul. Hope you rebound from this, buddy. Maybe we should have Jordan Schultz in the studio on Wednesday, huh? Instead of Paul?
Maybe so.
Oh, sorry if I get the microphone in front of my face, Ian.
Sure, that'll go well. Good stuff.
I was trying to help the viewers, Ian.
I mean, I guess keep an eye on that the rest of the day. Are there any more names that trickle out of who the Titans are interested in interviewing, and how many of those raise our eyebrows? I mean, I feel like we've talked about every conceivable candidate over the last 3 months that we've been talking about all this, so it'd be hard-pressed for me to find somebody that I think would totally shock me. But who knows? It's the NFL. Sometimes that happens.
Well, and then also, what is the significance of the day one reveals of who you're interviewing?
Yeah.
Is that like, are you going in order of the ones you like the most?
I don't know. I mean,
Nagy thing being first, people will run with that.
They will,
promise
you. And they'll run with it even more because, like, it's not like the Titans fired Brian Callahan yesterday and are now scrambling to put together their, you know, their list here. They've been working on this for months at this point.
Yeah.
So I would hope at this point there's a plan about how you're going into this attack if you're the Titans to find your next head coach.
Right. And understanding that there are different places that reporters get information.
Yeah.
It's still interesting that this is the first one public. Sometimes a team can try to dictate that. Is that the Titans signaling to everybody, hey, this is our guy, everybody.
Don't worry about it.
We'll interview others, but this is our guy. So get used to the idea of Matt Nagy, Tennessee Titans head coach, because he's Borgonzi's buddy.
Maybe so. We'll see.
I don't know. I mean, Jordan Schultz, excellent reporter, as Paul knows. Lots of sources all around the league. Working his butt off.
Friend of the show.
Unlike some people.
Friend of the show.
We have Jordan Schultz on?
Long time ago, but we did, yes.
How was he?
He's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Better than
He's better than
your guy.
Oh, what's his name that we had from ESPN?
Mike T.
Mike Tannenbaum. Oh, wow. Mike Tannenbaum's on our show running through a train station. How's that going?
That's not who I was thinking of. Tannenbaum's been good, though. We've had him, and he's been good. I was thinking of Eagles guy.
Oh, Sal Pal?
Sal Pal. Well, you know, I don't know if the Titans, I mean, if Eddie George can get about 25 carries, they might have a good chance. What?
Yeah, it's Sal Powell, and I think it was like, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks after the playoff game where they lost in Cincinnati. And he's like, well, you know, if the Titans could just find a pass rush, I think they'd be fine. It's like, well, Sal, they just had 9 sacks in a playoff game against the Bengals. I don't think pass rush was a problem.
9 times. Who knew that today we would just rip on Sal Palantonio for no reason? But anyway, good job, Jordan Schultz.
I've not had him back on the show since. Yeah. Just want to point that out.
I mean, I'm open to it. You're the one who gatekeeps our guests. I'm open to all our guests and friends with all of them. Jordan Schultz, good reporting. Hopes others take note of that and work a little harder this week. But, yeah, it's interesting that Nagy's the first one announced. How many more are we going to hear today? Like you said, is there going to be anyone off the radar at all? I hope so. I hope it's not just the same boring names that we've been talking about for weeks.
I can't wait till Mike McCoy gets an interview. I'm going to actively celebrate when McCoy gets an interview.
Someone on the text line called him Mayday Mike McCoy today. I kind of like that. Mayday McCoy.
I mean, he gave a passionate case yesterday as to his love for this organization.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
That's right.
I need him to get the interview just to have Bukarski's meltdown.
Head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Hey, so I don't know much about Matt Nagy. Is he a good coach? And what is his record? And is he, how many times, you know, these are just questions I would want to ask. You know, how many times he's been fired from a position of head coach or OC or DC? You know, I don't know much about him. Stefanski, I don't know. He just got fired, so he'd be off my board. But I want to know. So why did Cam get hurt like the first series of the last game of the season? Like, what is his injury, and how long he's gonna be out? Like, these are questions that we need to ask as far as fans, because me personally, I would try to get another quarterback. Basically, I would just try to get another quarterback, second round. You know, if Cam come back better or the same way, then I would, you know, have a backup quarterback, you know, and then we still got Will Levis as well. But, you know, I'm still out on Cam. I thought he was doing a good job until he went out there and did that stupid play and got hurt when he could have just did a dart play and got the ball in there to Tim DK. He want to run in there like Superman or something, and then to hurt his shoulder. That's really, really pathetic, really, if you ask me. But I love y'all. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey.
Who am I? Why am I here? There's so many questions that Trey just asked us. What is Matt Nagy's date of birth?
What is Matt Nagy's life history? Kevin Stefanski just got fired, so he's automatically off the list.
And Matt Nagy was born April 24th, 1978.
Thank you.
And
God, Cam, I hate people younger than me.
Cam, why was yesterday the day when he got hurt? That one I can't answer.
So maybe Trey just hit on something that we've missed the boat on. Blaming Cam for yesterday. That's really – what's wrong with you, Cam, running the football in for a touchdown and everything?
It was a design run too, by the way. So
maybe he checked into it. Do we know that he didn't?
I cannot say that I know that he didn't check into it.
That was a lot, Trey.
It was.
Trey coming strong on a Monday.
He was indeed. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Nagy's record is 34-31.
There you go. Over 500.
4 years as a head coach in Chicago,
and that includes 12-4 first year NFL coach of the year.
8-8, 8-8, 6-11.
Yeah, kind of
got worse as it went on.
Kind of downhill from there.
Yep, got worse as it went on. Again, not a surprise that he's getting an interview here. What else trickles out there today? And again, you know, Amy Adams Strunk making it crystal clear over the weekend. Borgonzi is leading the search. So I think a lot of, if you told Titans fans that when this whole process started, they would sign up for that. Yes, give me Mike Borgonzi to be the one leading the search. And now we'll see what that means. I think if it's Mike Borgonzi leading the search and it's just like immediately Matt Nagy, that one's going to be interesting to see the reaction from Titans fans. Like, yeah, just bring him in.
Yes, it will. Yeah. Definitely.
Who, by the way, may be a good coach, by the way. I don't know.
No, I mean, I don't think it's like a
– it's not a non-starter.
It's not a like a terrible hire if that's what happens. I feel like if Matt Nagy's the hire – I mean, you know, Titans fans talk, you know, fan bases talk themselves into these things, right? A lot of people who were down on Cam Ward are like, okay, well, I will become a Cam do. Okay, I was a what are you doing, but I am a Cam Do now. I think the reaction overall, if they hire Nagy, is probably a little bit more negative than positive, would be my guess.
That is my guess, too. Although I think it will, I mean, like you said, people will talk themselves into a lot of things. And again, Nagy is not, certainly not the worst option. I think that they can.
He's not the worst option. I just don't love the, I get it. I'm not going to call plays, but also, like, that's why you hire a guy like that, yeah. In part.
In part, no doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We got you covered all day here on 102.5 The Game. Black Monday in the NFL. We'll see what other moves are coming down the pike in the NFL today. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.